Welcome to Progress by Design, where ambitious and sensitive women turn their potential into progress. Merging psychology, self-development, and the design thinking process, I help you get out of your own way and take messy, imperfect action towards your extraordinary empire. I'm your host, Emma Norris, and I am obsessed with helping ADHD, highly sensitive women, and other underdogs become fully actualized and unlock the alpha badass that has always been inside them. I'm an author, writer, psychology graduate, self-leadership coach, and transformation strategist. I'm also proudly neurodivergent myself, and I can't wait to share with you what I've learned throughout my own journey from self-doubting procrastinator to authentically aligned action taker. Are you ready to become the best version of yourself and design a life, career, business, and habits that feel good for you? You're in the right place. Let's get into the episode. Hello and welcome back to the Progress Podcast, or as it's now called, the Progress by Design Podcast. It has been a minute. A lot has been happening. I've had a really busy year. God, I think the last time I recorded a podcast episode was like mid last year. So I do apologize for my extended absence. I had started and finished a full-time job in that time, and yeah, time just got away from me. But I am super excited to be back. We have a new name, we have some new podcast art, and I'm really excited about this change in direction. For a while, the Progress brand has been evolving, and thank you so much to those of you who have been on this journey with me from the start. But I've really been thinking a lot about who I want to serve and how I want to serve them. People that I really understand and love to work with and that tend to be drawn to the Progress world are people like me who have ADHD, or they might be otherwise neurodivergent, and often they are really ambitious women who also identify as being, yeah, just sensitive and a bit chaotic. Of course, we welcome everyone around here, but I think when I think of the Progress girl or person, that's who I think of. And in terms of my approach, of course, we are still all about taking imperfect action, busting through perfectionism and procrastination around here. But in the last year, I've been trying to find a way to formalize what I had already been doing naturally. And I came across the process used a lot in tech and innovation, and it is called the human-centered design or design thinking process. And this is really a five-step iterative approach to solving complex problems for product development, but also can be used in business and life. So you're going to be hearing me talk about that a lot. When I say design, I obviously don't mean graphic design, really more in relation to taking a prototyping or experimentation approach to progress. So you're going to be hearing me talk about that a lot, and you're really going to be coming along this journey with me as I, you know, think about all the different ways that we can apply this process to solve some of life and business's biggest challenges. So there's going to be solo episodes just like this one where it's just me riffing. And then we also have some really exciting interviews with some awesome guests that I am personally super excited about. So today's episode is about a topic that I get asked about a lot. And it used to be something that I talked about a lot. If you don't know, the name of this podcast actually used to be A Day in Progress. And basically I would interview people about their daily routines, like what their morning rituals were, how they spent their time, because I'm nosy and I love hearing about that. And I don't think I've ever actually really shared my personal routine on this podcast. Today we're going to be putting a different spin on this topic, because I'm going to be delving into how you can design your perfect routine. So I'm going to be sharing my general advice for creating a routine that works for you, even if you have ADHD and like the typical advice around time management doesn't work for you, or even if you are a highly sensitive person and really need to prioritize your protecting your energy. I'm going to be sharing my general advice, things that I've learned along the way, but also how we can apply the five-step design thinking process to solve this problem. Not a problem, it's something that requires some intentional thought, because
How we spend our days is how we spend our lives. I guess this topic is really top of mind for me recently because, as I mentioned, I finished up my full-time job at a behavior change app. And for the first time in a while, I found myself with autonomy over my schedule again, which sounds like a dream, and it totally is, but it can also be challenging and a little bit overwhelming because I don't know if you find this, but having too much choice can actually stress you out because you don't have those confines to work and everything is so open-ended. And especially on days where I don't have set deadlines or appointments, you're like, I could do everything and anything, so I don't know where to start. So interestingly, I found I've reverted back to my default of when I had a full-time job, which was basically just to plonk myself down straight at my desk in the morning and start working. And that works okay for a while, but I find that I am completely drained by the afternoons if I'm not a bit more intentional about how I start my morning. So I've really had to think about intentionally designing a routine based around my individual needs as a highly sensitive person who also has ADHD, who is now working full-time for myself. And I want to share a little bit about what that looks like and what my process has been. And just a caveat here, like I do not do the same routine every day. I'm not going to try and act like I perfectly practice my morning routine every day and it looks glossy and Instagram worthy and like those be that girl Instagram reels. It is not like that. Every day is a bit different. Some days, like I mentioned, I have deadlines and clear projects that I'm working on. Others I don't, but on a good day, here is what my routine looks like. So I typically get up sometime between 6:30 and 7 a.m. And it's because I don't have to get up that early, but I did a training program last year where I had to get up at 5:45 a.m. 5 days a week for 6 months. So then my body just naturally wakes me up at that time. So I just go with it. And the next thing I try to do before I pick up my phone is to do some nervous system work. So this is something that I'm really prioritizing this year. I've realized it's one of the areas that I need the most work in, and it's something that affects every area of your life if your nervous system is out of whack. So I'm doing this program called the Nervous System Accelerator by Dr. Linear. It's a program that really helps you reset your nervous system, and there's a couple of simple exercises that are basically just lying on the ground in a certain position and laterally moving your eyes. It takes literally a few minutes, but I find that it's something that makes a huge difference. And then I do my manifestation meditation, which sounds woo-woo, but I think it's really important to intentionally nourish your brain first thing in the morning and program it with the things that you actually want to believe. So I had a hypnosis meditation recorded by this amazing girl called Lara Parker. She's on Fiverr, and I got her to create a meditation that is personalized around what I want to create in the world. So it would be like, Emma, imagine you're in your beautiful penthouse apartment. It is amazing, and I find it really reminds me of what I'm working towards, which is obviously not just a penthouse apartment, but that is one part of it. Yeah, so I find that just really kickstarts my day on a positive note. So that takes about 15 minutes. And admittedly, I sometimes listen to it on 1.5 speed, which seems probably a little bit counterintuitive. It's better than not fitting it in. Progress over perfection. Okay, so then once I've done that, then I would check my email, and then I will do a bit of work, which usually involves some sort of writing or ideation or tinkering around on Canva on my website. And then one thing which has been really nice, getting a coffee at the cafe next door. We're lucky enough to live literally right next to a cafe with my partner. So this is just a really nice way for us to like intentionally spend some time together before he goes off to work, or if he's working from home, before we both sit down at our desks. It's just really nice to have that time together. And it's something that we couldn't do when I was doing my martial arts training program because I had to leave so early. So we've been really relishing that time together. I think we're going to change this up and actually go and take our coffees to sit outside where we have a view of the beach, because it's really good for you, for your energy levels, to get some sunlight in your eyes early on. So I think we're going to iterate on this task and change it up a bit. So this takes us up to about 9 a.m. I'm trying to actually get ready, even though I'm working from home and often won't even see anyone. So what that means for me is pretty simple. I'll get changed into a comfy outfit. I don't know if this is like an ADHD thing or a neurodiverse thing, but I refuse to wear anything that isn't comfortable because I like to sit cross-legged at my desk. So I will do that. I will put on tinted sunscreen. Usually that's the only makeup that I'll wear because I am lazy and it makes it more of a big deal when I do bother to put makeup on. But one thing I do like to do is put earrings in because I don't know what it is, but just something about doing that makes me feel like the best version of myself. So typically I don't eat breakfast, not because I'm actively trying not to, but I think I just went for so long where I was out of the routine of doing it. So I just never really feel like breakfast. But at the moment I'm trying to do something because I feel like my energy levels are better when I have something in the morning. At the moment that kind of looks like a smoothie with a greens powder, banana, frozen banana and mango. I feel like it makes it so much nicer and creamier, and some vanilla protein powder. So on a good day, I will have that. Once I've had my coffee and my smoothie and I've gotten dressed, I will typically do around 3 hours of deep work. I have to listen to music when I work with my over-ear headphones, like whether or not my partner Nick is home or not. To get in the zone, I really need lo-fi beats, instrumental with no lyrics. I will find that the mornings are probably my most energized time of the day. So I'll really get in and get focused on whatever it is I'm doing at this, that sort of time, somewhere between 9 and 12. So usually I will have lunch sometime between 12 and 1 because I don't eat breakfast or I only have a smoothie. I am absolutely ravenous, usually by 12 o'clock. And so typically this will involve reheating leftovers from the day before. Nick and I are trying to spend less money on food, and I just find I've tried to do the meal prep thing and it just doesn't work for me. I just get bored of eating the same thing 4 days in a row. So I find what works well for us is to cook something the night before and then just cook a little bit extra and then have leftovers. So usually I will watch YouTube or some sort of online course while I do that, whether or not Nick is home or not. Like if he's at home, we'll usually watch a YouTube about photography, which he's really into, or content creation. At the moment, we're actually working through an online course together on business strategy, because what else would you do with your partner when you're an absolute nerd? But yeah, if he's not home, I'll usually just watch some YouTube. And then I try to have some sort of appointment in the afternoon because I find that I need something to break up the day. My energy levels are the worst in the afternoon. They're probably even worse late at night, but I start to fade a little bit if I don't have something to just break up the day. Sometimes I'll have some sort of appointment in the afternoon. At the moment, I'm working with an amazing shadow work coach called Steph. So sometimes I'll have a session with her. Other times I might just go to the shopping center, go for a walk around, or just go for a walk around the neighborhood, just something to break up the day, because otherwise my energy levels just drag. Then after that, I'll probably do 2 to 3 more hours of deep work just to finish up what I haven't already got done. So on the days that I train, my gym is in the city. I'm going to an amazing women's Muay Thai class at the moment, so that's at 5:15. Usually takes about 45 minutes to get there, so I will get the bus and the train into the city. That takes up probably 2 hours a day, but I actually really enjoy the time because it's a good opportunity for me to listen to a podcast. So some of my favorites are, if I feel like just zoning out and something simple and easy, I'll listen to the Shameless podcast or Flex and Brooms podcast, which is hilarious. My new favorite at the moment is Joyful Marketing by Simone Grace Soul. She has an awesome approach to business and marketing, so I'm really enjoying that at the moment. So my workout class normally finishes at 6, so I get home at about 7, and if it's a night where I'm making dinner, which is like honestly, probably my partner will hate me for saying this, but like 3/4 of the time at the moment, we go through phases where I'll cook more or he'll cook more, especially when uni is on for me. He'll pick up the slack a bit. But yeah, typically a lot of the time I'll make dinner, a lot of pasta, love my carbs, and I will listen to a course or a podcast while I do that. I'm really bad. I'll often have two different podcasts or two different courses on at a time. So like the one that I listen to while I'm having lunch might be different to the one that I listen to when I'm cooking dinner. I'm the same with books. I've always liked having a couple of books on the go. Again, I think it's just like the squirrel brain in me. And then my partner gets home at about 8, so we'll have dinner in front of the TV, which, yeah, okay, I know it's not great, but we like it. It's like probably the highlight of my day, watching TV with Nick while we eat dinner. So right now we're watching Drive to Survive, which is about Formula One racing, which I really didn't expect to like, but it's actually really good. Like the characters and the teams and the business behind it, it's actually really fascinating. So, and then we were in the habit of eating ice cream every night, which we realized probably isn't that healthy. So what we've been doing is having a protein smoothie for dessert, which is way nicer than it sounds. We have chocolate protein powder, like a big cube of ice, and then sometimes some Halo Top ice cream, and it just makes a really nice frappe chocolate smoothie. So I found that that's been a great healthier habit swap. And then I will normally have a shower while Nick does the kitchen. That is the trade-off for me cooking dinner more often. I don't know, I much prefer to cook than to clean. And then I'm in the habit of flossing my teeth in the shower at the moment. My dentist was giving me shit for not flossing enough, so I've been using a water flosser. If you are someone who struggles with flossing, I highly recommend checking that out. It's just like it shoots water through your teeth, in between your teeth. And I just find it's an easier way to floss. And then I will do my skincare and then hit the sack at around 10:30. So yeah, I get up relatively early. So yeah, we try to be in bed by 10:30. We'll do a 3 to 5 minute meditation in bed, just using the Calm app if we feel like we need it. So that is my daily routine. I don't know if you find that interesting, but I do. It's been a process of trial and error to figure out what works for me. This is what's working at the moment. As someone who has a lot of freedom over my schedule and likes to work in short, sharp bursts, I find that setting my day up in this way works for me. So just a couple of general tips on designing a daily routine, especially if you have ADHD or are highly sensitive. So the first one is to be flexible. Like, you don't need to have a hard and fast routine that you absolutely have to stick to every day. That is really counterproductive and not that realistic, typically for people who are neurodivergent. So I really recommend having a menu of things that you can pick and choose from depending on how much time you have available. Yeah, if you're working from home and you don't have too busy of a day or crazy morning meetings, maybe you'll do your elaborate 1 hour routine and that's great. But then there might be other days where you really only have 5 to 10 minutes to set yourself up for success. So just have a menu of options that you can choose from and things that would be nice to do, and take it on a day by day basis to see what's realistic for you that day. So there's this app called Timo, T-I-I-M-O, that I really love. You can do is set up routines. So you might set up your morning routine, evening routine, lunchtime routine, and have a sequence or checklist of different things you'd like to do in that time. And I find that's a great visual reminder of what you would like to do. And you can, for me, I have a widget on my Android phone that pins my routine to my home screen. And I think for people who are a little bit out of sight, out of mind, I think this is a great way to have your intentions for the day really visible. And then if you need to skip things, that's fine, but you've got options. The second thing I would say is make having something to support your nervous system a non-negotiable. Like I mentioned, this is something that's really top priority for me at the moment. It's particularly important for people who have ADHD or are highly sensitive. We tend to absorb a lot from our environment and can be on a bit of a roller coaster if we don't manage our energy levels. So if you were going to just do one thing in your morning routine to set yourself up for success, I think I think you'd really benefit from having some sort of nervous system practice. It could be going for a walk, it could be breath work, meditation, it could just be like lying on the ground with your feet up in the wall. There are so many great practices for nervous system regulation. I probably am going to do an episode to do with the vagus nerve because that's a really important part of this puzzle and activating that. But yeah, think about what calms you, what makes you feel psychologically and physiologically safe, and make that a non-negotiable in your routine. And then the third general tip I would give is optimize for energy management, not time management. As I mentioned, traditional concepts around time management do not necessarily translate well to people who are neurodivergent. They're outdated, to be honest. They don't really work for a lot of people. And I often find, like, working with clients, they tend to be overly optimistic about how much they can get done in a day because they're only thinking about their time. Oh, that looks reasonable. I reasonably have enough time to do that, but they're not actually thinking about their energy levels. I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of spoons. So this is something that's really common in people who have chronic illness, but I think it also applies to neurodivergent people, like ADHD or autistic people. The idea is that, like, you might only have a certain amount of spoons to give in a day. And if you're someone who has sensory challenges, even something really simple like doing the laundry might take up 2 to 3 of your spoons. I'd love to get someone who's an expert on this to come on and chat about it because I think that it's something that all of us can apply. Think about how many spoons you have to give. Think about the activities that take a lot of energy out of you and optimize for those. Maybe if you have something that you have to do that day that is going to take a lot of spoons, make your other tasks only little spoons, if that's a possibility for you. But when you're thinking about your day, don't just think about, okay, how much time do I have to give, but also how much energy do I have to go around and what is the best and most effective way that I can invest that energy. So those are some of my best general tips for creating a daily routine that works for you. But now I want to delve a little bit more into how we can use the human-centered design process to design your ideal routine. Because this is a topic that I think gets spoken about a lot, but I've never seen this framework be applied to it. And I think it can be a really helpful way to think about what are the things that you absolutely should be prioritizing in your daily routine. Because it's easy to look at those inspiring Instagram videos and be like, oh, I need to get up at 5 a.m. and I need to do a 10-step skincare routine and I need to do like a 45-minute meditation and I need to work out and I need to do all of this before 8 a.m. But like, it's really important to figure out what is actually going to make an impact and move the needle for you. Like, it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. So I find applying this process is a really helpful way to narrow down what other things you should actually be focusing on. So the first step in the centered design process is to empathize. So when this is applied to product development, I was thinking it's about empathizing with the consumer. What do they need? What do they feel? But you are the consumer in this situation. So really spend some time thinking about where you're currently at. Where are you feeling like your current routine isn't serving you? Is it that you feel too rushed or chaotic? Is it you feel like you never have enough time to do everything? Maybe like me, you're exhausted and drained in the afternoon. You find it too hard to get going in the morning. By really diving deep into how you're feeling or what you're experiencing, we can define the problem, which is the second step in the human-centered design process. We'll use my scenario as an example. Our problem statement here would be that I feel like I'm in a coma by the afternoon. So the next step is, I think, the most fun part. It is ideation. So this is really where you just brainstorm a whole bunch of potential solutions. Don't police yourself, just get a whole bunch of ideas down. But to address our problem statement, I feel like I'm in a coma by the afternoon, I could get up an hour later. I could change my workout to early afternoon instead of like early evening. I could stop eating such carby lunches like pasta for lunch. Or I could get up earlier and not work in the afternoons, just completely take the afternoons off, which would be amazing, but not sure how realistic that is. The next and fourth step is to prototype. So out of that list, this is just about picking one thing that you're going to test, and there's not always a right solution. Just pick the one that you're most drawn to. Find a low effort way to test it. So the solution that I am going to prototype is getting some sort of movement in the afternoons. So the low effort way I'm going to experiment with this is straight after lunch, I will go for just one lap, one walk around the block. Next step or steps is to test and iterate. So by test, I mean define the parameters by which you will measure your success. So I might test this solution by saying, okay, if I feel 10% less drained in the afternoon, then this potential solution is a success. And maybe I try it out, but I find that it's too hot at that time in the afternoon, which actually leads to me feeling more tired and lethargic. And maybe I decide, okay, this works, getting some exercise in the afternoon, but maybe instead I do a 10-minute indoors workout with some fitness equipment rather than going for a walk around the block when it's hot. So you can see it's really an iterative, experimental sort of approach. And I would encourage you to go through this process yourself, figure out what changes you should make to your daily routine, and approach every new addition to your routine this way. Don't just add 10 new things at a time, because to be honest, that's just a recipe to fail. For every new habit you add, you need a trigger, and trying to keep track of like 10 different triggers is exhausting and just not realistic. But go through this process of trying and experimenting with one thing at a time, really proving out the value, iterating on it if you need to, and then if you find something that works, then add it to your routine. So that is how you design a non-restrictive daily routine as an ADHD or highly sensitive person, or really just anyone with a human brain in this chaotic world that we live in. I hope you found it helpful. I hope you'll consider using some of these tips or this process to reevaluate how you're spending your time and find something that works for you. If we're not already connected, I am The Progress Co on Instagram. Give us a follow for more super practical, actionable tips for navigating this world as an ADHD or highly sensitive person. I look forward to seeing you there and catch you next time.